You should see an outline in your bulletin. The top should say looking down or looking up. From Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. All the verses will appear in the outline, as well as a commentary on the verses as well. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we look to His Word this morning. God, our Father, please speak to us through this Word that's been preserved and written down over many years. May we cling to these things, to the truth that's found here. May we be challenged by what we read and what we find. As your Son speaks to a crowd of people and we get a chance to listen in to what He would say to people that struggle with looking down on other people. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. I wonder if you noticed that there's a common theme in the world right now. There seems to be, anyways. It's this whole idea of. It looks like a lot of things. It looks like maybe shaming someone else who's done something wrong. And I don't know, maybe it happens more on social media, but you know, something is found out about a person and other people quickly respond back and say, oh, how could you do this? And how could you do such a thing? How could you sin in such a way? And social media makes it very easy to do because you don't have to. You would never say it to the person's face, right? But it's easy just to write something down on the internet and just send it off. And take that. Right? I mean, I can't believe you could be so foolish. I'm just going to tell you how foolish you are. And things like that happen quite a bit. Maybe it's on the news, the continual news cycle that exists, and you know, something is found out. And so we're going to have people, we're going to interview a bunch of experts or people with a certain opinion. Usually it's the same opinion that we have. And we're just going to lambaste them, you know. We're just going to make them feel really bad and say, yeah, this is just terrible, what happened. Maybe it's, sometimes it happens in the church, as we think of people who go to church, and they present themselves in such a way to where they look down on everyone else. And it's funny that we should expect people that don't go to church to act like they do. It kind of doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, if people don't go to church like we do, well then, is their standard higher or lower than ours, do you think? I mean, really, I wouldn't be surprised, and we shouldn't be surprised, if their standard is much lower, or even just a little lower, than our standards. And it's exactly what Jesus is saying. Luke just tells us in chapter 18, verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And just that statement, just that little introduction there is, it's a telling statement. I think I've been this person before. I've been the one that's been confident of my own righteousness. I've been the one sometimes that's looked down on say my coworkers, on maybe my neighbors, on members of my family, on other people's kids, right? That aren't quite as well behaved as my own. Not that mine are that well behaved, but if you think they are, you have to just come to our house and you'll see that they act a certain way when they're out in public. But then something changes inside of them when they walk through our door, or when they get inside the van to go somewhere. It's totally different. So it's an illusion if you think my kids are very well behaved and the standard I set is so high, you know, or the standard they set or whatever, but it's not, it's an illusion. But we can sometimes be confident of our own righteousness, and this is only because it's only based on who you compare yourself to. And see, we like to compare ourselves to people who are much worse than us. And then it makes us feel so good. I'm not that bad. Look at that person. You know, now he or she is very bad. But then you can create this platform that you stand on, and you can just look down on everybody else. Everybody else who isn't on the platform that you think you're on. But this is who Jesus is talking to, and not all the time, but sometimes that person is me. I don't know if you understand that about yourself, but I have to be honest and just say, sometimes this is me. I'm confident of my own righteousness, and I look down on everybody else. So he continues on it in verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. You know, a Pharisee, I think you know by now, but these were the religious leaders of the day. Okay, they were teachers of the law. Jesus usually lambasted these folks. Because of this kind of attitude, they were confident of their own righteousness, and they looked down on everybody else. And just in two chapters later, in Luke chapter 20, Jesus says this about the Pharisees: beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show, make lengthy prayers. It's interesting. This Pharisee is about to pray here. And Jesus said, you know, they do this for a show. I think he's making a general statement. Was every Pharisee like this? I don't know. But most were. And he describes them in that way. There's a children's saying, I guess. It goes like this. I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? Do the feelings of my heart go with the words I say. I might as well bow down to gods of wood and stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. It's sometimes distressing to me. You know, I have to pray in public a lot because I guess of my job as a minister, but it's distressing because, you know, your prayers are different. If you pray in front of people, they're different than maybe you would pray just by yourself. There tends to be this, you know, if you pray in church, you have to offer a spiritual kind of prayer. Right? There tends to be that. You tend maybe not to be as honest as you would be. As if you were just in your room by yourself. I think it is. It's a different kind of prayer. And there's that, you have to guard yourself against that tendency to maybe put on a show. Because you're praying out loud. You're praying in public. And you change what you would say. And I'd like to say, you know, I never do that, but I'm not sure. It does. It changes the way I speak to God. It changes the things that I would actually say at times. So we have this thing here that about the Pharisees that they try and put on a show sometimes of when they pray, or most times the other person who's going to pray is a tax collector. And in Luke chapter 19 you find a story about Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. These people would often collect more than they needed to and pocket the increase, okay? But you remember Zacchaeus, he runs into Jesus and Jesus says, you know, I'm going to come to your house today and eat. And the people saw this, they said, oh, you know, don't go to Zacchaeus' house. He's kind of a cheat. He kind of takes too much money when he collects the taxes. He basically steals from people, right? He takes more than he should. And Zacchaeus basically, we don't know what the time frame is here, but he says this in chapter 19 of Luke, verse 8. Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And it's safe to say that he may have done that, you know. He may have cheated people out of something, and he did pay back what he paid back over and above what he cheated the people out of. So these two people, a Pharisee and a tax collector, show up at the temple and they're going to pray. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. He gives an offering, you know, of all his possessions. So that's his prayer that we have recorded. That's the prayer that Jesus tells us that he prayed. He's confident in his own righteousness. He doesn't mention anything here about his own sin. He just speaks about the sin of others. Thank you, God, that I'm not like these other sinners, the really bad people. Thank you that I'm definitely not like this tax collector. I don't cheat people out of money. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. I'm super spiritual. And we might say, well, okay, what's wrong with that? He doesn't do those things. I don't think anyone here does either, right? I don't think anyone in this room is a robber, an evildoer, an adulterer. You know, I don't think there's any tax collectors here. No one works for the IRS, right? So that's good. We're just like this guy. So we're going to talk about that a little later, but okay, what's wrong with the prayer? Now, what's wrong with being that kind of person? What's wrong with being a righteous person before God? It's a good question, which we'll get to a little bit later. The prayer, this was a commentator, according to the piety of first century Judaism, there was three types of prayer, or three things that they said in their prayers. They confessed their sins. They gave thanks for the things they received. Or they offered petitions for oneself or for others. The Pharisee's prayer does not fall into any of these categories. He is neither confessing his sins nor thanking God for the gifts of God, and does not make any requests for help. His public remarks are an attack on others. He tells God he displeases the sinners out there. Rather than comparing himself to God's expectations of him, he compares himself to others. And again, I think that's the danger. If I compare myself to what God commands and what God desires from my life, God's purpose for my life, I don't look as good. In fact, I don't look good at all. If I compare myself to the people around me, it's very possible that I can look very good. Because, you know, again, it's based on who I happen to be comparing myself to. The commentator writes, the Pharisees thought of the law as a garden of flowers. To protect the garden of flowers, they opted to build a fence around the law. That is, they felt obligated to go beyond the requirements of the law to ensure that no part of the law was violated. Without a fence around the garden, someone might step on one of the flowers. The written law only required fasting on the Day of Atonement. The Pharisees, however, chose to fast 2 days before and 2 days after each of the three major feasts. That meant 12 days a year, but this pious man announces to God and others, he puts a fence around the fence. He fasts 2 days every week. So it was almost like this competition that went on among the Pharisees. Who can fast the most? You know, who can outdo the other in make yourself look even better than the other person? So you can see this competition going on, and well, you know, I fast 3 times a week instead of 2 times. So, you know, I'm even higher, I'm even closer to God at this point. And it goes on and on, it never stops. Then we have the tax collector described in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Very different prayer from the tax collector. I think he just understands he's not better than anyone.
He's got nothing to lean on as far as his good righteous works.
Maybe he didn't fast. Maybe he's never fasted a day in his life. Maybe he doesn't give his offering to the Lord. He can only see his sin, really. He can only see where he hasn't met the mark that God has set. He hasn't measured up to the standard. And some translations actually say, they translate, "Have God have mercy on me, a sinner. God make an atonement for me, a sinner." Make an atonement. Pay for the sin that I've committed. And Jesus says, I tell you it in verse 14, I tell you this, that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. Just what a statement that is. When someone is justified, they're declared right before God, declared righteous. So Jesus is saying the religious God, who had some really high standards, and was thanking God that he was not like other people, he didn't go home justified that day. He didn't go home declared righteous, which you would think he would. But this guy just had a simple prayer. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Make an atonement for my sins, God. Because I got nothing else. He was justified when he went back home. He was declared righteous. It's surprising. But I think the statement at the end gives clarity to this. The first man, the Pharisee, was exalting himself. Saying, I'm so much better than everyone else around me. I'm looking down at everyone else around me. So God says, no, that person needs to be humbled. Because that person is exalting himself. The other, the tax collector, is humbling himself before God. I got nothing. I might be the worst person at the temple today. Nobody compares to the sins I've committed. Nobody is worse than me, he's saying. I just need God's mercy upon my life. And God looks at that humble state of that person and says, I'm going to exalt that person. I'm going to lift that person up. That's why I chose the title for this sermon, that looking down or looking up. There's just a huge difference here. Looking down would be, look at all the things I've done. Isn't this great? Looking down, looking at everything I've accomplished, looking at the credentials that I have, confident in those things. Look at what I've done. I've got a performance record here. I've got extra credit stuff that I've done. God's going to be very happy. Or you can do the other, which is looking up and saying, I got nothing.
Oh, of course, I've done all these things. I've preached a lot of sermons. I've read my Bible. I've all good things.
But what has that gained me
in light of God's love? You know, does God now love me more because I've done everything that I've done? Does God now look to me with more favor than somebody else?
Of course not. I mean, the fact that I've done anything at all doesn't increase God's love for me. The fact that you might be bankrupt when it comes to spiritual things doesn't diminish God's love for you. That's a constant thing. That does not change. There's a steadiness in His love. He has a love for all people. The thing that might change is the rewards. You know, the rewards, the blessings of God are going to be upon the person who's been serving. Because that's different. That's what, you know, God blesses those people. He does. It's just how He operates. But the idea is it's not a competition. It's not so I can be better than you. We're all on the same plane. We all have to look up and say, what have I really got to offer? I just need your mercy to wash my sins away. I just need your mercy. And that's where, as a church, we have to come to that point and say, the people out there that don't go to our church, of course they're not going to be like us. Of course they're not going to be as far along in the journey as we are. But it's so difficult sometimes to welcome those people in. You know, their language is kind of rough. You know, they might dress in such a way where, you know, we don't go along with that. They might have a background that's, man, it's kind of embarrassing. But certainly, we just can never look down on other people. Even if their standards are so much lower than ours, where are we coming from? We're coming from a place where we've been in the church, some of us, our whole lives. Where are they coming from? They've never set foot in a church. So it's really silly. Like, how can we expect that you got to come up to our standard and then we'll accept you? How can we expect, you know, we'll start loving you when you start measuring up? But I fear that's what some churches do. I fear that's what goes on. At times. See, really, what it comes down to is both the Pharisee and the tax collector really should have prayed the same prayer. Because the Pharisee somehow couldn't see his own sin. Where the tax collector saw it so clearly. And really, that's what God wants. He wants us to see our sin clear and plain, and it's just unmistakable. I need your mercy, O God. Because I certainly could be worse, but I know I could be better also. So I can't measure up to the standard. I need your mercy. And the Pharisee should have said, you know, I'm exactly the same as other people. Not I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm like everybody else. I'm prone to sin. That there's no sins that other people commit that I'm not capable of myself. I mean, I'm thankful that I don't go down those paths that some people go down and wreck their lives, right? But I'm capable of that. If I remove myself from the church, from the fellowship of the church, if I remove myself from the reading of the Word and the prayer to God, if I remove myself from all of that, do I honestly think I wouldn't be in the same boat as some of these people on the TV? Where their sins are found out. And they do shameful things. I mean, there's no reason for me to say I wouldn't be going down those paths. Because I would be. Except for the grace and mercy of God.